Chapter 1. 1 year later. Danny.
Do you want matte or gloss?
I blinked, the paint cans blurring before me. What type of paint did you use to erase a broken dream? No fucking clue. My hands gripped the handle of my cart, filled with painting supplies that had taken me the better part of an hour to assemble. Every time I thought I had what I needed, I realized I'd forgotten yet another thing. Time had ceased to exist here, and I half wondered if I'd finally escape aisle 12 and discover night had fallen and I'd wasted one more day not fulfilling the task I'd dreaded. The salesman sighed, running his hand through his hair. I couldn't exactly blame him for the frustration. Even with the online research I'd done, it was clear I was pretty clueless on how to repaint an almost nursery-turned-guest bedroom in order to make my home more likely to sell. "What will paint over blue?" I asked. "Air Force blue. Baby boy blue." "There will be another baby," Michael had promised when I'd miscarried. "Let's not change the room." So we'd kept it. His way of clinging to hope, and my attempt at supporting him. Of course, now they were both gone, and I couldn't walk into the room without feeling an overwhelming sense of loss. The salesman's gaze drifted to my left hand, to the diamond engagement ring that sat there atop a diamond eternity band. I couldn't look at either of those things, and yet, like the room, I wasn't ready to cast them off. My husband might have died a year ago, but the memory of him still lingered.
"Ma'am, perhaps it would help if your husband came with you. He might have a better sense of what your needs are."
He would have. He would have repainted the room on one of his free weekends, and I wouldn't have had to worry about a thing, which was the problem. I'd always prided myself on having my shit together. Being an Air Force wife allowed for nothing less, considering how frequently I was alone. But now that Michael was actually gone, I kept realizing how many things I didn't know how to do, and how much I'd grown to depend on him during the 7 years we were married. The paint cans blurred even more, my eyes filling with tears. Oh God, I was going to lose it in aisle 12. The thing about being a widow was that you never knew when the tears would come. You could have a string of good days, and then something would set you off. The scent of your husband's cologne on a stranger. The sound of a jet screaming overhead. Your wedding song playing on the radio. Apparently mine had come today. I took a deep breath, steadying myself, struggling to push a response out of my mouth when suddenly a large hand landed on my back, palm between my shoulder blades, fingers stroking my ratty t-shirt.
"I got this," a voice rumbled behind me.
I whirled around and came face to face with Easy. As commander of the Wild Aces F-16 squadron, my husband, callsign Joker, had been both boss and mentor to the 20-something pilots who had flown under his leadership. I'd gotten to know all the guys and their families pretty well, but there was no doubt that out of all of them, my favorite was Alex Easy Rogers. There were many things to love about Easy. The contagious smile on his face, the compassion in his eyes, the memory of how he'd comforted me when I'd miscarried and Michael had been halfway across the country, how he'd stood next to me at the podium while I delivered Michael's eulogy, the way he'd always treated me with indulgent affection. He'd been one of my husband's best friends, so for that alone, I'd always love him. But it wasn't just that. He was a big kid with a wild streak 90% of the time, but the other 10% of the time he was one of the best men I'd ever known. He was also one of the last people Michael had spoken to when he was alive, a voice over the radio in their formation of four jets right before Michael was lost to us forever. I struggled to get my tears in check as Easy spoke to the salesman, and then the guy was gone, and I was staring up into Easy's blue eyes.
"You okay?"
"Just trying to pick out paint."
"What do you need?"
he asked, his expression solemn, the usual swagger and amusement drained from his expression. It had been a rough year for everyone.
"I'm trying to repaint the guest room."
"Do not